This year's donations might go to, say, the geology department.
Oh dear, not the dirt people.
Geology is the study of pressure and time. That's all it takes, really.
What kind of activity is thermolytic acid? Look, I'm just a geologist. I like rocks. I love rocks.
Hello, welcome to the Geology Flannelcast, ladies and gentlemen. We're doing things a little differently today. I'll start us off. How's everyone doing? Good evening.
What is your name?
This is the first time I think I've ever done this. My name's Chris. As my voice cracks. Hi, guys. Say hello.
My name is Steve Ric Flair Peterson.
I am from regions unknown, Jesse.
Welcome to the Flannelcast.
Being out of order makes me feel like there's a bad omen here.
Probably something will happen. We're trying to boost the energy level here today at the podcast at the Geology Flannelcast. Jesse's saying that he's lagging. I don't know what his deal is. This is
literally before we got on, I fell asleep sitting up.
I don't know. I live for this stuff, so I'm sorry. Sorry, Jesse.
What Jesse meant to say was he was meditating, prepping for the podcast. Yeah.
I do, like, last night I was thinking about it. Last night I was like, I am full of energy. I was up pretty late last night because I was so full of energy.
Yeah, so what happened in those 24 hours?
I stayed up too late. I'm tired.
Turns out there's that thing called sleep people need. Sleep is for the weak.
Anyhow.
Sleep when I'm dead. All right.
We talk about, let's pay some bills and then talk some rocks.
Yeah, let's talk about the formatting formula.
Okay.
Stage is yours.
You look like you were going to say something, Jesse, so I paused. Formatting formula, they handle all your formatting needs for Microsoft Word, any sort of Word document, any sort of formatting issue, figures, text, table of contents, creating like standardized forms and stuff like that. The formatting formula created a form for me that I needed for my work. That, you know, it's a form that everybody fills out. Some people were just like scanning and a PDF and trying to like handwrite stuff. I was like, what are we in the Stone Age? Come on. So I talked to the formatting formula. They gave me these like fillable fields all on this document. It was like, I didn't even know that was possible. It was fantastic. I even had like a little issue where I screwed up the date. It was supposed to be like a month, day, year instead of like year, month, day or something. They're like, oh, no problem. But it took them like 10 seconds and they fixed it for me. So formatting formula can fix pretty much anything when it comes to Microsoft Word. So please check them out. Formattingformula.com, or they have all these videos where you can teach yourself how to do all this stuff on YouTube. So it's YouTube.com/C/formattingformula. Check them out. But more importantly than checking them out, let them know that the Flannelcast sent you. So check them out. Formattingformula.com.
We also, if you enjoy our show and you've a few extra dollars around, price of one coffee a month, you can support us on Patreon.
You need like a Sarah McLachlan sad song in the background.
For pennies a day.
Yeah.
But that's not like a copyrighted phrase.
I'm sure. Yeah. Sarah McLachlan's coming after us after this one.
Yeah. She's a big fan of the show. So
she comes to my door. I'll have to hold up a puppy to defend myself.
If you get the lowest tier Patreon membership, it ends up being $6.67 a day on a 30-day month. So did I say $6?
Yes, you did.
Our lowest tier is $200 a month.
I was just going to say, Seminac apparently is stealing from me and Jesse because he told us it was $2.
6 cents a month, a mere pennies a day, all right?
Six cents a month. Come on, man.
Did I screw up again? A day.
Yes.
Yep. we're not business people.
Get it together, Seminac. Woo!
Oh, this is fantastic.
This is gonna be a good one. This is gonna be a good episode.
Because we started out of order.
You want to just start all over again?
No, we're too deep now. There's no turning back.
We can't turn around now. It's been like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
I ain't got that kind of time.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, so it's
our lowest
tier is $2. Divide that by 30, and it's about
six cents a month, six, seven cents.
A day. Yeah, and so Chris just ordered some new stickers. We've got some brand new stickers. We still owe a few people stickers, but
yes, and
we're working on it. Times are crazy. We got some new stickers coming in. We're waiting for the printer. We just approved the proofs.
Yes,
literally on the press right now as we speak. Yeah. You can actually hear the chugging sound in the background. I made my own printing press.
Incredible.
And honestly, a big portion of it is me going out and getting stamps. Like that's a big deal right now.
Maybe this is our chance to get sponsored by stamps.com.
Ooh, or like Pitney Bowes or something.
All right, we don't give out free spots here. All right,
let's I'm not saying to go to them. I say they don't sponsor, so don't.
Yeah, so don't use them yet.
Just go to the post office. It's a delightful place. I love the post office.
Good for you. That's great.
It's funny. The post office, I have fond memories of the post office.
Yeah, me too. No,
I'm thinking whenever I'm going to the post office, it's usually like a holiday. Like, hey, I want Christmas stamps, or hey, I want Halloween stamps, or hey, here's 50 Geology Flannel Cast envelopes with stickers on them. So
yeah, I was when I used to live in the city, I would always go to like the big post office in Center City that had like the old metal grates across, like where you would talk to the people. It was a big old marble building. Loved it.
Nice.
They closed it, but
it sounds like expensive real estate.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was right next to the Disney Hole. If you know your Philadelphia landmarks.
I have no idea what the Disney Hole is.
Oh, it's right by Market East Station.
Okay, what's a Disney Hole?
Well, they in the mid '90s, I guess they tore down all those buildings. It's just a surface. Actually, they're building something on it now, but for years it was a hole in the ground because Disney was going to build like a concept. I don't know, like a attraction thing.
Really?
Yeah, and it fell through probably pretty quickly. And so for a few years, it was just a hole in the ground. And then they just paved it over, and it was a surface lot for about 15 or 20 years. Now,
you know, some people would argue that the entire city of Philadelphia is a hole in the ground.
Hey!
Hey! Wow, the look of anger on their face.
Not okay, buddy. Not okay.
Coming out of their ears right now. What?
There's...
Wow, I hit a nerve with that one.
I have some pride for the city I call home, even though I don't live there, but I live real close to there. I guess you're only a couple miles.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm 10, something like that, outside of city limits. So
to get to the city, I think I'm like a mile and a half or something.
Yeah. So, yes, granted, I've never lived inside the city limits, but I still consider it my home.
Well, let's say you guys want to get started with some geology stories.
Yeah.
No, I want to badmouth you for badmouthing my city.
Oh, come on. Get over it. I was born in that city. I spent more time in that city probably than both you guys combined. Totally.
That is... There's no way that's true.
That'd be true for me.
I probably slept on the subway more than you spent time in that city.
I try not to sleep on the subways. Geology stories, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. I got one.
Jesse's really excited about this story. You kick
Am I?
Now, is this considered Jesse's Corner, or is this just a story?
The whole series has turned into Jesse's Corner. It's kind of
listen to me, people.
Jesse's podcast. You just call it the I don't know.
That was a long con. I was just getting you guys on board.
Yeah.
To make this all about. So do you want a fun story or a depressing story?
No, it's good depressing.
Yeah, gotta go depressing. we both went for depressing.
Yeah.
Fun. Nobody needs that.
Very bad this one actually titled Very Bad News. So there's a...
Wait, the story's entitled Very Bad News?
Yeah.
Great.
So there was a... I think it came out... Either came out in Nature or Science, a paper. It was by a bunch of folks. I'm trying to see. Michael Mann from Penn State was one of the authors on it. And then a few other people from other places. Anyhow, what it's basically showing is that in this study over the past couple decades, they're seeing increasing stratification in the world's oceans, which is bad. And so what's happening is that the surface is heating up, and normally you have vertical mixing of the water column. And so you some of that warm surface water gets carried down and sort of cooled off in the bottom water, and you bring this bottom water up to the surface. But what we're seeing now, or what they've seen, and you know, I haven't personally seen it, but I believe it, is that it's slowing down, and the ocean is becoming stable, which means it's stratifying. So this mixing is slowed down, and so the surface
at all latitudes.
I didn't get into the
nitty. Yeah, I know lakes stratify at different latitudes, yeah, based on temperature change and all that crap. So
yeah, I'm just trying to.
No, I'm not putting you on the spot, but that is very bad news indeed.
It is. And so one of the and it's becoming a positive sort of feedback on itself, because the warm surface water then sits at the surface. Warm surface water sits at the surface. It's a little redundant, but it then just keeps heating.
The surface water sits at the surface.
It's right in the name. I don't know. You missed it. but this warm ocean water absorbs less CO2, holds less dissolved oxygen. So it's bad for a lot of the ocean. Does a lot to try and help us in terms of absorbing CO2 to keep our CO2, atmospheric CO2 levels down, but we're seeing the rate at which it absorbs CO2 go down, and this is part of the reason. This is also probably the reason you're seeing sort of intensified hurricanes, where, you know, these hurricanes are blown up from Category 1 to Category 4 in, you know, 48 hours. And we've seen a distinct increase, not maybe in the number of hurricanes. Well, this year there's a ton of them, but mm-hmm. But, you know, not necessarily more frequent, but definitely more powerful. Mm-hmm. And that's sort of quantifiable.
Well, that's what they've been predicting for a while now, for a long time. I remember reading papers, you know, 10 years ago saying like, that's what's going to happen. It's not going to be the frequency. Yeah. It's not going to be the number. It's going to be the intensity of the storms that's going to increase, and not necessarily the number of storms.
Yeah. And you can, it's quantifiable too. You can see the number of category, you know, 4 and 5 hurricanes in the last 10 years compared to the last 50 years. They're about equal in terms of, we've had as many in the last 50 years as we have in the last 10 years. So.
And that's something where it's not due to instrumentation or observation bias or anything like that. It's just like in the last 50 years, we've had enough data gathering instruments that we can make that claim accurately.
Yeah. So not great. They found it. They were looking at, they see this stratification occurring mainly in like the upper 200 meters. So right at the surface. Mm-hmm. Surface water.
Does this affect the ocean circulation currents at all?
Maybe.
Sounds like we need to give the ocean giant swirlies and just like dunk something in it and mix it up a little bit.
Just like a pond that gets stratified. Just throw a fountain in it. You know?
Yeah.
Just get like a little like a pond fountain. Spray some water.
Right, but just have a hose more than 200 meters down.
Yeah.
Problem. That's where it gets it done. Solved. We just solved the world's problems, man.
To your question, I'm not entirely sure. I'll look into it. I've got a story that's been sitting on the back burner that deals with this that I'll talk about next week. Hold me to that.
All right, I'm writing that down now. Yeah. Jesse story next week.
Yeah, about North Atlantic overturning.
Ooh. Did you say what's the main cause of this stratification?
The plan is
getting hot.
Yeah. Climate change.
So is it just temperature does this?
Yeah, I think it's just, yeah, it's like hitting a limit. Like the
temperature drove it, but then you get this negative impact loop of mm-hmm. it's hotter, so it won't absorb more CO2, which then makes the atmosphere hotter, and mm-hmm, mm-hmm. so.
Hmm.
Yeah. So that's interesting.
Well, that was depressing. Why didn't you warn us about how depressing the story is going to be?
I mean,
do you have an uplifting one now to?
Well, I've got one about mass extinctions.
Oh, that's my story.
Oh wait, the Chicxulub one.
Oh no! I got something else. Okay.
This is about so the International Drilling Program cored into the Chicxulub crater, which is Chicxulub is where it's the asteroid that did in the non-avian dinosaurs.
Or meteorite, yeah.
Or meteorite. did in the dinosaurs 66 million years ago. And so they drilled this core into the crater itself. And so they did this in 2016. So researchers have been looking at aspects of this core. And so a study just came out looking at basically like benthic organisms, little organisms that live on the seafloor, and especially ones that sort of burrow a little bit into the subsurface.
Mm-hmm.
And they found in the crater itself, they rebounded in terms of like their communities and their populations sort of rebounding and occupying these spaces again really quickly. Under a million years, they're back in action.
I totally believe that.
Yeah. So, yeah, the recovery was remarkably quick. I don't think they were expecting to see it.
No, I'm sure it was like,
I mean,
unlike anything else on this planet at that time. But I believe nature could do anything.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I like you've got a lot of positivity towards nature.
Life always finds a way.
Yeah. They, oh no. In the next story I've got, they actually quote that.
Nice.
Yes.
But like after the Permian extinction, which sort of unknown, and in the Permian, there's some thought that there was a ocean chemistry sort of, aspect to it. You don't see recoveries in communities, for millions of years.
Hmm. Cool.
Pre-extinction levels.
Yeah, and we did have a question on Facebook regarding cave structures from the Chicxulub impact, and they wanted to know if other impacts have caused other cave structures. And the answer is I don't know, but we're going to look into it. That might be something for the back burner later.
Yeah, let's do it.
Do you got any other stories, Jesse?
I got one more.
All right, I'd like this rapid fire little
bang, bang, yeah, bang.
Quick stories.
So this one is about Mars. Are you familiar?
I've heard of it, and I bet you're going to steal my story again.
About liquid water?
Yeah. Oh, go ahead. We'll have a discussion about it.
Oh, great. So this one is using remote sensing. Yeah, it's your right up your alley here with they did I guess GPR, some sort of GPR.
No. I'll let you know what it is in a second, but go ahead.
Yeah, they were looking at the subsurface and they found basically liquid water, like these pools or reservoirs of liquid water in the subsurface of Mars, like lots of liquid water. And so that's basically like, is it under the ice or is it under the sediment?
Under, it says, I don't think it's under ice.
Yeah, they're
using radar, by the way. It wasn't.
Okay.
So I,
well, ground penetrating radar.
Radar.
Yeah, I bet you, I wonder if it's, but that's, GPR is a little different. You have to make contact with the ground. There's also side aperture radar, SAR.
Yeah, the one thing flying over those.
Yeah, that's.
Oh, it's not coming from a rover. It's actually coming from a satellite.
Yeah, it's on a probe.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been in orbit. Yeah, it's
an orbit. Yeah, so it's basically, oh yeah, it's under the South Pole. So I think it's under, but they think it's in the subsurface, not just under the ice, right?
It's buried.
Yeah. And it's liquid. It's like a large lake of liquid water. And
did you say there's four of them?
I was just about to say that.
Ah!
You stole my thunder. They had this one that they thought they found a couple of years ago, and they were reanalyzing the data. And here they found three more frozen under the Martian surface. And so this is, you know, if you're looking for bacteria or things, look towards the liquid water.
You want to get into the chemistry of the water?
Super salty.
A little bit.
Oh, tell me.
But it's not like the, it's really, really, really salty. I'm trying to find it out on the, on this, website right here.
Salt water lowers the freezing point a bit, essentially to unfreezable temperature.
Yeah, it says here it is. It's dissolved salt. So I'm seeing negative 123 Celsius. So, it has dissolved salts of magnesium and calcium perchlorate.
Yeah, I was gonna say they're all perchlorates.
Yeah, so it's not a salt. The website kind of jokes around. It's not a salt that you put on your French fries. It's a little bit different.
You can. It would just taste like crap.
Yeah,
and possibly kill you.
I'd try and risk it,
or explode.
Is this explosive? Maybe.
We want to test it out?
Yeah, let's do it. Science experiment on the flannel cast tonight.
So, Jesse, you're right. Okay, so it looks like it's underneath the polar ice caps. Yeah. That's just the fact that it's so cold there. It'd have to be salt in order for it to stay liquid where it's at.
I'm still astonished they have the technology to zap underground from orbit and figure that out.
Well, I mean, radar, they do it on Earth all the time. You can get, just kind of.
Yeah, but you get like a foot or three or.
Well, seriously, the penetration. Well, if it's under ice, I don't know.
No, I know with ice, you get great resolution. Like you can go 100 feet, but.
Yeah.
So I guess this must be. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know about the radar.
And then how do they know what it's made of?
You can see the reflections coming back, and you can figure out the. I'm pretty sure you can get a feel for what the compounds are based on the data, the reflections that are coming back.
I know,
and it's just like, well, prove me wrong. Okay, well then let me get a drill rig up to Mars and
so
drill down into it.
We know that on Earth, some of these lakes can hit like 40%, or they can get a salt concentration like 40%. That's really, really salty.
Yeah,
that you don't want to go swimming in that. That's gonna burn a little bit.
Yeah, considering like ocean water is 0.3%.
Yeah, what's like a
the Dead Sea or something?
Yeah,
or what's like Mono Lake? That's like super salty, right? Or what's maybe not.
Mono Lake is, I think, right?
Yeah.
Is it super salty or super acidic?
Oh.
Maybe that's it.
I think it's super.
I don't know. So they found these lakes, and now the question is, like, what's going on? What's the thermodynamic conditions down there, that can – to get just to allow these salts to get dissolved in the water and what's what's going on. But it's pretty amazing that they actually found these liquid lakes. We know that there's been historically that there was water on Mars billions of years ago. There's lots of, you can see the evidence of these flow structures on the surface of the planet.
Yeah, the sedimentary structures are there.
Yep.
But you know, it's have to see what's down in this stuff. But yeah, I don't know. The question is, could there be life in these lakes? You know, but we just know that on Earth, usually when you see these like super salty lakes on Earth, it's you know, it's not exactly
there's life everywhere.
Hospitable. It's, I guess, what are those brine shrimp? There's brine shrimp that live in like really salty conditions, but I don't know how.
Yeah, but not that salty.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, what did I say? The ocean. The ocean's 3%, right? It's 33 parts per thousand. So that would be.
Three parts per 100.
Yeah, so 3%. That's a 0.3. Sorry. I don't want to get angry emails.
That's we fact checking ourselves in real time here on the Flabblecast.
Man.
Just that's all. That's what I do in my head every day.
Fact check. Thanks, Sammy. Sammy's our fact checker.
Yeah. Good old Sammy. Chris looks very
it's like what?
Who? Is he on the payroll? Is that where the money's going? No.
No. Chris is just buying gold-plated microphone cords and charging it to the Flannelcast.
New guitar.
Yeah. So he can play us in. He didn't even play us in today, Jesse. Yeah. What's that about, Chris? I thought you were going to thrash for us.
That happens in the post-processing. That's where the magic happens.
Oh.
You guys sign off and the real magic kicks in.
Or if you're a Diamond member of the Patreon, yeah. Hang out for the jam sesh afterwards.
It's an acoustic set. I would love to see, like, as soon as we log off, Chris turns his camera, there's a big green screen. He just pretends like he's holding a guitar.
He's got some bongos in the back.
That's exactly what it is. I have the green screen. There's like a picture of Hendrix I put on the computer. The green screen. I was jammed with Hendrix.
Yeah, the hologram of Tupac comes up next to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all that magic happens here in the after hours.
Oh, that's where all the podcast money is going.
Yeah. Both dollars.
Tens of dollars.
We're working on a like a William Stratus Smith hologram for the Flabblecast.
That would be fantastic.
Just him in debtor's prison.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
holding two bars. Like.
Yeah. Too soon.
If you don't know what we're talking about, you should listen to the episode we did about 5 years ago.
Yeah, some of our older...
7 years ago, we did on William Stratus Smith in the debtor's prison.
Oh, yeah. Man.
I would... Yeah, I hesitate to listen to some of those old episodes.
Yeah, well.
I used to listen to them. I haven't, you know.
They say if you don't cringe to it, that means you're not progressing.
Just I feel like our audio quality has gone up at least 10%.
Oh, at least.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves. 8.5. All right. I got a story for you.
All right, lightning round.
William Stratus Smith was our ninth episode, May of 2014.
I remember sitting down to record that because that's when we used to – that was one that we recorded all in the same room.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
All right, so I got this next story. Here's – talk about good ones.
Ooh.
You guys hear about the discovery of the new mass extinction?
Mm.
What?
Uh-oh.
Who? All right, so there was a there's discovery of a new mass extinction. It's called the Carnian Pluvial Episode, 223 million years ago. So this is pretty cool. So this was during...
What's 252 is...
That's Triassic.
Yeah.
252 is Permian.
233.
233
yeah.
is Triassic.
Yeah. Did I say 252? I meant
to... No. I was thinking out loud. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry for thinking.
The Carnian is Triassic.
Yeah, it's a stage in the upper Triassic.
Yes, that's where clownfish came to existence, right?
Oh, is it?
How the hell do you know that?
I'm kidding.
Oh, because Carney's.
Carney's.
Oh. This is where semi-shady Ferris wheels ride in parking.
Exactly. Very small hands.
Whenever you're finished, I'd like to get on some real science here and just educate the people. You're actually, it's like that line from, what's it, that Billy Madison. You're all now a little bit dumber. Thank you. We're all now a little bit dumber from listening to that. May God have mercy on your soul.
Carry on.
So there's a discovery of a new mass extinction called the Carnian Pluvial episode. So this one's really interesting. And this is the mass extinction event that paved the way for the dinosaurs to become like the top predator, and the dinosaurs came about to be
dominant.
Dominant, thank you. That'll work. Yeah. Okay, so they found evidence of this mass extinction episode or event. They think it was most likely caused by volcanic eruptions in the Wrangellia, I think I'm pronouncing that right, province in Western Canada. And in that region, they found these like huge volumes of basalt. And so there's a lot of evidence of volcanic activity there.
So fill me in. What's the planet looking like at that time period? Or is it?
Yeah. Paint us a picture.
Well.
Is it like Pangaea? Is it?
This is the beginning of the split up, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's starting to
Okay.
Because
so Pangaea is still, because the Atlantic Ocean doesn't start opening until 170, 180.
Because when I think of mass extinctions and I think of evidence, I'm always like, all right, well, is it very localized evidence that like everything in that spot died? Or is it global evidence? Like, are you seeing it all over the planet all at the same time? Like,
So this volcanic activity, same story we've talked about lots of times in the podcast here, dumps a lot of these greenhouse gases. And so we had the climate warmed up. And what happened was, as the climate warmed up, there was basically a crap ton of rainfall that happened. That's where the name pluvial episode comes in. Pluvial means rain. And so the climate changed, we got lots of rainfall, and, I like this. They call it a humid episode. This lasts about a million years. Everything.
It was Georgia for a million years.
Yeah. By the way, let's talk about climate real fast. Only one wearing the flannel shirt today, Mr. Flannel Caster.
It's so humid here in Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it's so humid. I'm wearing my flannel cast t-shirt.
It's awful.
I got my flannel cast t-shirt on.
It's delightful down here in the southeast right now. It's
if it was this humid and rainy all the time, I would extinct myself.
Yes, I would be with you, because it is not that hot out. It's like 76 degrees out right now. I'm like, it's like everything is sweaty, everything is wet, like everything, it just,
yeah,
like I wiped off my counters and they didn't dry, like just
I left the milk jug out on the counter like for like 2 minutes.
What jug?
The milk jug.
The milk jug.
The jug of milk. And it was covered in like condensation. And so it's like they pick it up and it just like rains on my counter.
Ugh.
It's awful.
Yeah, it's humid.
Hope this is the last gasp.
Well, this 1 million year humid episode changed.
I want to keep cutting you off to emphasize how much I hate you.
These guys are really offended, but not offended, but distraught, I guess, by this.
Yeah. Yeah. So, we've had 3 days what you've had for the last 3 months.
It just gets to a point, it just breaks you, and you just, just stop caring. You just stop caring, all right. So the humid episode lasts about a million years.
And how long did it last?
For the last time, 1 million years.
1 million.
1 million years.
So it changes the biodiversity, or the, causes a change in biodiversity. And what happens is we see this expansion now, the modern conifer forests. So as a result of that, the reptiles that were herbivores didn't really like this new flora. So this floral switch kind of was, I guess it was a kind of an after effect, I guess you could say, of the volcanic activity, and which is interesting because it's like, you know, we can say that the volcanoes caused the mass extinction, but it was the chain reaction from the volcanoes. It wasn't necessarily the volcanoes themselves.
Yeah.
The changing climate and the change in flora. Let's say the whole.
Yeah. So the volcano wasn't the whole.
It wasn't
cake.
Just the volcano.
It was an ingredient in the cake. Yeah.
Changed the climate, made it humid, made Jesse uncomfortable for a million years. And we start getting new flora. We got new flora. The conifers really took over. And
we ended up with South Jersey everywhere, which is also awful.
Again.
No offense to South Jersey.
Yeah.
All right, maybe a little offense.
I don't need them in my corner.
Those pine barrens. Yeah.
Yeah.
Spodosols everywhere.
But it's a good example of just how, and I stress this a lot of times when I'm in my, like, I'm teaching a environmental sustainability class this semester, how interconnected these ecosystems are.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, exactly.
You tweak one thing and it has this ripple effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the dinosaurs didn't come about because of this mass extinction event, right? The dinosaurs were around for about 20 million years before this mass extinction event, but they managed to survive. And then after this million year humid, this million year humid event finished, then we had these sudden arid conditions. And that's where the dinosaurs really exploded, was after that. But it wasn't, and then the other thing this article talks about, how it wasn't just the dinosaurs that came about after this mass extinction. It was also, we see turtles popping on the scene, crocodiles, and the first mammals as well. So we, collectively as mammals, we can thank the Carnian Pluvial episode.
Interesting.
Oh, and also it didn't, so that was just the impact on the land, but also in the oceans we see the modern style coral reef starting to come about. And then also modern groups of plankton. And so this suggests that the ocean chemistry and the carbonate cycle got all.
Yeah, actually this leads segues really nicely into something that I can't talk about at all.
Great.
But the,
good night, everybody. Thanks.
That's it.
I literally just read a story.
Jesse, you're such a good podcaster. This is
what I bring about Jurassic ocean chemistry, which what else are you going to do on a Tuesday afternoon?
Jurassic ocean chemistry. Woo, so getting this, crazy at the Thornburg household.
This all makes sense. Like the Triassic, you're seeing these changes. And it's basically about how the forams really altered the carbonate cycle, really alters the entire ocean chemistry.
And this is what you're going to talk about next week.
Yeah, because I don't remember any of it. That's the problem. I read these stories and I'm like, this is very interesting. And I read enough to give you that single sentence and nothing else.
Hey, that's what makes you interesting.
And they also the king of clickbait, apparently, as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll click on anything.
Yeah.
Anything.
So I always, you know, you talk about these mass extinctions and I'm always, it's usually we have these events, we take out like the top predator on the food chain. And then we really, and after these mass extinctions events, paleontologists tend to see these like explosions of life immediately following once kind of like the dust settles, because now it's like there's a power struggle going on. Like who's going to be, you know, the new top dog? You know, the new king of the hill, and the predators aren't around anymore. And so the things that are lower down the food chain have a chance to really start to proliferate.
Yep.
And their numbers skyrocket and get some really neat evolution.
Yeah. Have you ever seen that movie Evolution?
Isn't
David Duchovny and the guy from the Sprite commercials. I forget his name.
I know what you're talking. No, I never saw it.
Oh man, it's a pretty funny movie. Yeah, it's actually yeah. But they talk about how, like, you know, it was basically an alien life form lands on Earth, and they try to kill it, and it every time they try to kill it, it just evolves really quickly into some other form, and then they finally like try to blow it sky high, and it turns into this like giant amoeba. Like, it basically goes down to like the least common denominator here, and like, no, this is how we started. We're gonna start all over again. And you know, it's interesting how you take away that predator and you can just explode, and every time that life explodes, you get all this replication and all this diversification and yada yada yada. So yeah, anyway, it's worth an hour and a half. I would watch it. It's not great, but it's funny.
Put it on my list. I'll check it out.
Yeah, I want to say that's probably the 90s. You can add that to the list. I don't know if you still have your tally marks for our 90s versus 80s movies, but
no, you definitely that's definitely not. I would that's yeah, it's absolutely 90s.
Yeah.
What is it? David Duchovny said?
Let's see. Yes. Evolution.
2001.
Oh, man. Oof. Man, I'm sorry. Hey, man. Terrible movie aficionado.
Misinformation.
Evolution. I have no idea.
I remember the commercial. I definitely didn't see the movie. I remember the commercial.
You also referenced the Sprite commercial.
Yeah. I did. I forget the guy's name. He was such a talented actor. He was so funny.
Oh, Orlando Jones.
Orlando Jones. That's it. Yeah. He used to be in Sprite commercials before that movie. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember the smiley face from the, I'm looking at the cover now.
Yeah.
Orlando Jones. Oh, it only got 43 on Rotten Tomatoes. It deserved better.
All right. Well, so, apparently I'm not a good movie critic either.
Ivan Reitman. I feel like he's done funny things.
I feel like there was another young kid who turned into being a semi-famous actor in it too, but
I don't know. I've already closed out of it, so I'm not going to
look. Nope. Again. Nope. It's not, we've already spent way too much time on this.
Yeah. So this next story is going to make Jesse feel a little better if he's concerned with the humidity and just like the blahness.
Glaciation or bust. That's my motto.
There we go. Coldest. This headline is coldest Northern Hemisphere temperature officially confirmed. There you go. This is coming out from the University of Wisconsin, Madison.
So much for climate change.
Yeah, I was going to say, thank God.
Well, hold the phone. It only took them 30 years to confirm this temperature, all right? But 30 years after recording a temperature of -93.2 degrees Fahrenheit, 69.6 Celsius in Greenland, this measurement has officially been verified by the World Meteorological Organization as the coldest recorded temperature in the Northern Hemisphere.
69.
What were they doing for 30 years?
Hang on. Let's check it again.
This was first recorded in December of 91. All right. So
first of all, that's really depressing because when I think of 30 years ago, I was thinking like the 70s.
That's 50 years ago.
Steve. I understand. You know, but in my brain, I was like, 30 years ago. Like, why are they debating something from the 70s? Jeez, I'm getting old. Yeah. That's right.
Can't beat Father Time, Steve.
Anyway, 31 years ago was the 80s. That's all I have to say.
Yeah.
Carry on.
That's all I got with that.
But why did it take so long?
I don't know. I talked to the World Meteorological Organization. Maybe there's a backlog of temperatures they had to confirm.
Maybe you don't just throw out stats here with no backup, Chris. Come on.
How many news stories you got today, Camp?
I was waiting for that.
It doesn't say why it took them so long to
So in 1991,
December of 91, at this the site was called the Clink, KLINCK, Clink field site. Let's see, it's in the middle of Greenland and it's at an elevation of 3,100 meters.
Yeah, that's up on top of the dome.
10,000. So. Yeah.
3,100 meters. That's pretty high.
Yeah, 10,170 feet.
And Greenland's pretty north, so that would make sense.
Both of those things are lining up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I mean, what happened was for that situation with the coldest temperature, it was the elevation and a splitting of the jet stream, which usually flows over the Greenland ice sheet. It created a dead zone, allowing the already cold region to continue losing heat from the earth.
Wow.
So that's really interesting.
You can get this happening over Canada with a polar vortex.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So it's like the day after tomorrow.
Funny story about a polar vortex. Little anecdotal story here for the little inside information for the Flannel Cast fans. Jesse used to do this this hike. I think, Steve, you went on a couple of these wintertime
death marches.
Jesse,
I don't like the humidity, so I only go backpacking in the winter.
Doesn't like these death march, or he doesn't like the heat. And so he always picks like the coldest week in January or February to go hiking. So mm-hmm. 1 year.
It's usually like right before the semester starts, I think, right?
Yeah, it's like the first week in January.
Yeah.
So the 1 year I get recruited. And number one, I kind of felt like it was an honor. Like, I finally am getting invited to.
That's because all the other people had died.
Yeah, nobody else wanted to do this.
They lost all their toes.
Yeah, yeah. But so I just remember we met up at the train station around the corner from Jesse's place, and it was just so cold out. We were just going to spend a night on the Appalachian Trail, go out to Gettysburg. And the polar vortex was over Philadelphia at the time. And we're at the train station, and I mentioned to the fellas, I was like, guys, listen, you know, why don't we just go get breakfast? The diner's right there. You know, we don't have to do this. This is going to be crazy. And the consensus was, let's just drive out there and let's just see what it's like. Let's see what the conditions are like. So I'm like, all right. So we did, it was like a 3 hour, 2.5 hour drive, whatever, out to Gettysburg from there. So we get there, it's just cold and snow. And we're like, well, we're here. Let's start hiking a little bit and let's just see how far we go, you know? So I forget how far we went. I don't know, something like somewhere between probably like 5-10 miles or so out to the, we found this lean-to. The best was, so if you don't know what a lean-to is, it's basically just a shelter along the Appalachian. Well, it doesn't have to be along the Appalachian Trail, but it's just a shelter you sleep on. It's basically just a roof, like open wall. There's really no walls or one. I think this had three walls.
Yeah, the three.
Yeah. So Jesse brings this tarp to keep the wind out, but just the way that he hung this tarp up in the lean-to. Only about half the tarp cover the.
My hand stopped working.
So it dips down to 12 degrees at night, and I never remember shivering that hard in my life. We couldn't get the fire started because there's snow everywhere and all the wood was wet.
That was a mess. We did get we got a fire, but it was not impressive.
It was no. We were standing inside the fire, so that tells you how impressive this fire was.
Do you remember like on the hike out, we walked. We went down in a little ravine, and there was there was a cabin, like a
hunter's. I remember the cabin, and the guy with the dead rabbit.
Or what? Yeah, and the dudes were just, they had like this roaring bonfire going, and they were just like drinking beers. Yeah. Like, that looks cozy. And we just kept going.
So it was like, mid-January or so, and it was just one of those nights where it got dark at like 4:30. So like 6 p.m., we're freezing. We're all shivering around this bonfire. And just like they wanted to go to bed. I was like, guys, you can't go to bed at 6 p.m., right? You're going to wake up at 3 o'clock and you're just going to still be cold. I was like, we got to at least stay up until like 9 o'clock or so. Like,
you just got to end this.
Yeah, it was that was a brutal night. That was
– Yeah, that wasn't bad.
That wasn't the worst one. You've had worse ones, though.
Yeah. Anyhow,
yeah, the one time I did go camping with Jesse, he hurt his back and then left us.
Oh, was it the basketball tournament with the NCAA tournament was on?
Yes, that's right. It was spring break.
Yeah,
it wasn't in January. It was still March. It was still cold, but
that's what sort of threw us off. Like, we left during the day.
Yeah, it was like 60 degrees, something like that, and then we go to hike, and all of a sudden it dropped to like 20 degrees and was snowing.
No squall came in. Yeah, my back seized up pretty good, and Luckily, I was close to my parents' house, so I went up to visit.
So he abandoned us.
Abandoned everyone.
And then we get to the end of the trailer. We're like, Jesse, where are you? Oh, sorry. I got caught up watching the tournament. I'll be there in a few hours.
Well, I brought some brats back. And
no, you did. I know. I'm just kidding. That was the camping trip. I found out that my zipper on my sleeping bag broke. That was when Cerruti put his water bottle near the fire and it
melted
and yeah, just everything. It was just a comedy of errors. Anyway, so if you want to be a super diamond member of the Patreon, Jesse will take you camping. You may or may not survive.
Yeah, it might be the last camping trip you ever take.
Yeah.
Enjoy it. Jesse will have you sign a waiver before you go saying he's not responsible for, you know.
I will leave you.
Yeah. Yeah. Good times. No, I love camping, though.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. Yeah, we digressed hard on this one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. You guys got to, I got a, apparently a quick little headline here. This will probably be the last story because we've had a lot of these like smaller news stories this week. But
one of our Patreons just put it in the group chat. We can call it Jesse's Spirit Quest. And Jesse just said Jesse's Walkabout. Either one, I'm totally down with.
So this is a real short one, but so there is everything in our solar system is aligned like a disc, like an old fashioned CD, right? And those things go out of style. Well, there was recently
it did last like 25 years.
I guess they did. Yeah. From the '80s until what? The early
2000s. They lasted longer than cassette tapes.
Oh, really? Yes, that's true.
Well, anyway, so it was always thought that there was just one alignment plane. All the planets are all aligned on the same plane. Turns out that there is a second alignment plane in the solar system.
Didn't I mention this? Why they think there is a planet X is because you get some Oort cloud objects that are off the plane.
My horoscope's been telling me this for a while.
Yeah, is Venus in retrograde right now?
Something like that.
No, but you get like the some of these dwarf planets and like Kuiper belt objects that are orbiting the sun off the orbital plane of the planets, and it's why they think there's Planet Nine or Planet X. This, you know,
Planet Nine will always be Pluto.
Yeah, let's call it Planet X. Then it sounds cooler.
It does.
Neptunian sized object. Way out there and having a gravitational effect on these objects. And it's why, which one is the Neptune or Uranus?
That is still going to make me giggle. Yeah,
that's which one's on this, on it. Like it's axial tilt is different.
Uranus is on its side.
Yeah.
Stop, Steve. Stop. Next topic. We can't do this with him.
I can be mature. Come on.
All right.
That's pretty cool.
That's all I got. It's just
I'm in. I'm sold.
Let's do it.
It gets into a lot of physics behind why it happens. Lines up with the orientation of the Milky Way galaxy. I don't know. Just a fun little blurb there.
Yeah, man.
I'm out of stories. It's Peter. So it's Steve's turn for the news stories this week. Go ahead, Steve. Yeah. The time is
Paraguay and my problems. Sorry.
That was pretty good. It's almost actually did sound like you're losing. This
would be a perfect time for Chris to bring back the cricket chirps.
It would.
Yeah. Right.
Coincidentally, This was the perfect every week. Here's another insider tip on the Flannelcast. Every week, Steve's computer restarts during the podcast. Every week, like clockwork.
On Mondays.
It's
Tuesday. We're recording on Tuesdays.
The one week where you could have gotten away with it, nothing.
You're good to go. I know.
Yeah.
That it's from Spies Like Us. I don't know, with Chevy Chase. That's an 80s movie. Dan Aykroyd.
Oh, I did see that.
Are there any Uruguayans here? No?
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah, throwback.
Yeah, he works for the State Department.
So, well, anyway, so next week, Steve's going to take over the entire episode.
No, listen, I have a whole spreadsheet of topics that we should cover and yada, 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 and I just...
What are you doing with those topics there, big guy?
rigorously researching them. Rigorously.
All right, so...
No, I know. I've been slacking the last 7 years.
If you don't slack, I can't bust on you, so...
Oh, that's
I'm
true.
I'm enjoying the slacking, all right?
That is true. Yeah. Well, sorry, fellas, I let you down.
No,
you didn't. I'm just here for comedy relief and or what I find to be comedy relief, like one of our planets in our solar system.
I mean, it's inherently funny.
Come on. It's obviously the weakest Roman god. Why would you name something after that?
And what is it named after?
Roman god, right? They're all Roman gods, except for one's a Greek god, isn't it?
Man, you are way off. It's a Greek god.
No, it's a Greek god. Is there one Roman god? Is Mars Roman and everything else is Greek?
Yeah, Mars is Roman, god of war, right?
Yeah, I think everything else is Greek. It's all Greek to me, which makes me giggle. Anyway, yes. Our thanks to The Formatting Formula. Thank you so much for being a sponsor. Please check them out for all your Word document formatting needs, formattingformula.com, or check out all their self-help YouTube videos on youtube.com/c/formattingformula. Please, I don't know, leave them a message, type them a comment, let them know the Flannelcast sent you. And to our Patreon listeners out there, we have a few listening right now. We have Maddie and Mark listening right now. I know we always have a bunch listening. So thank you very much for being Patreons. Anyone who is listening right now who is not a Patreon and you want to contribute, hey, we're here for you. If you don't want to contribute or you can't contribute or, you know, whatever, think about getting a second job and just contributing anyway.
Earn your keep, you know?
Yeah, come on. No, I'm just kidding.
You think we're doing this for fun? Like, yes, we are doing this for fun.
But obviously, all of my research time for nothing.
But thank you for all the people that have sponsored on helped us out on Patreon.
Yes,
I just had to pick up a new mic cord today, and it was thank you.
And
so
that
much
was for- paid for. You know, we're going to be in the red for the next 6 months, but, you know, Chris has got his mic cord, so. That's okay.
A really good mic cord. No. But, no, thank you, everyone. You know, we're saving up, trying to get some better upgrades with the podcast here. So, but thank you for everyone that has helped out so far in the past.
Yeah. You know, tell a friend September. Tell an acquaintance September.
No, I
just tell somebody.
Tell somebody September. That's it.
Yeah.
If you like it, tell a friend. Say how awesome this podcast is.
Pretty soon it'll be
geology podcast.
Yeah, it'll be Oktoberfest. I'm coining that phrase, Oktoberfest.
Nah, for might have beaten you to that.
Yes. No, I don't know. I got nothing for October. But anyway, just tell, spread the word. That's the best thing that we can do, is ask you to tell somebody. Check us out on Facebook. On
tell 8 friends for October.
8 friends for October.
Yeah,
I like it.
How did that start? Wasn't there something? Here we go. We're going down a real rabbit hole here. There was the original calendar was 10 months, and that's why, like, October's off by 2, October's 8.
Yeah, because, I mean, Julius Caesar, that's why we have
Dec,
July.
December was Dec 10, right?
Yeah. And then, yeah.
There's something about that, yeah. I don't
know. Well, then you get into the different, was it the Gregorian versus the...
Yeah, at some point, didn't we lose, like, several days, like 30 days or something? Just like disappeared from the calendar.
I'm gonna dig into this
next week. I like it. All right.
This could be the addendum for the Geologic Timescale podcast.
Yeah. Oh, I like it. Anyway, so thanks for listening. We appreciate it. Check us out on Facebook. Check us out on Instagram. Check us out on the internet. It's a thing now. Download us. Subscribe. If you subscribe, we now are up to 1,600 subscribers. You know, we're over 200,000 downloads. Am I right, Chris?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Way over. Like, we're like
200,000
something. But anyway.
I haven't looked at it in a while.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks for helping out, everyone. Everyone, thanks for listening, and we will see you guys next week. Take care. Have fun. Stay healthy.